You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kids have recently gone back to school, which means they'll be bombarded with ads for junk food whilst commuting, according to researchers. Senior research fellow at the University of Auckland's School of Population Health and spokesperson for Health Coalition Aotearoa, Dr. Kelly Garton, has commented on this in a recent newsroom article and is advocating for Aotearoa's local councils to eliminate junk food advertising from public transport spaces due to the impact they are having on young people. I spoke with Garton about what other major cities around the globe have done to tackle this issue and the further repercussions the ads could have on Aotearoa and its health system. Could you tell us how making buses and trains junk food ad-free spaces will protect children from early exposure to unhealthy food and drink?
So there's a lot of evidence from international examples where this has been done, that this does have a tangible effect on health, and it actually translates into savings for the health system in the long run. One of the examples is that Transport for London banned the advertisement of foods high in salt, fat and sugars on all trains and buses and transport infrastructure back in 2019. And this ended up translating into actually reduced household purchases of unhealthy food and drinks after the ban's implementation. So this actually had an effect across the population. And one of the other interesting things is that it had a greater effect on communities of lower advantage, so it was actually equity enhancing across the population. So that change in household purchases of unhealthy foods ended up translating into a reduction in obesity across the population.
And why do you think Aotearoa should follow in the same steps as those cities?
First of all, Auckland has committed to being one of the global leaders in terms of healthy environments. It's something that some of the leading cities in the world have embraced. The Australian Capital Territory does this. Most recently, South Australia does this as well. It has tangible health benefits. And our research has been finding that there is a significant density of junk food and drink ads on transport, particularly in school zones. So in the sort of 500 meters around the school's front gate for Auckland primary and intermediate schools, we found that over 60% had advertising outside in those general areas, and 85% of those food ads were for unhealthy products. Think about children on their way to and from school every day. They're being bombarded by messaging to have unhealthy foods, and that's just not consistent with having environments that promote kids being happy and healthy.
And you said it would help the health system save money. Could you tell us a bit more on that and how it would help the health system reduce costs?
I mean, looking at the example of Transport for London, their ban on unhealthy food and drink ads in transport translated into a reduction in unhealthy food purchases by households by about 6 or 7%. They then modeled this to find a reduction in obesity across the population by about 5% over a year. This was then estimated to save about £220 million over the lifetime of that Greater London population. Obviously, that's on a larger scale. London's a different size city than Auckland, but chronic disease does cost the health system in the long run. It has indirect effects on productivity and GDP. Aside from all of us wanting our population to be healthy and happy and thriving, it does actually have an economic case as well.
And for Aotearoa to get closer to introducing a ban, what are the next steps that must be followed?
There are a few marketing policy areas that we desperately need to address. The digital space is one of them. But outdoor advertising, so think of the ads that sit on bus stops, trains, Auckland Council-owned properties like recreation centres, but also outdoor ads on things like dairies. These all sit mainly in the remit of local councils. And with local elections coming up later this year, it's a great opportunity to get candidates on board. We've seen that this type of regulation is feasible. It's been done in other jurisdictions, in other countries. We've seen that it's effective, it has tangible health benefits, and it's really a matter of taking the next step for Auckland and the rest of Aotearoa to catch up with the rest of these world-leading cities.
Are there any challenges local councils might face in enforcing a ban on junk food advertising?
I would imagine they'll face a good amount of interference from the food and beverage industry and from advertisers. This has been seen in other jurisdictions in Australia who tried to implement this type of transit ban. So currently the Auckland Transport advertising policy doesn't allow tobacco, alcohol, or gambling ads, but for food and beverages, it refers back to the voluntary codes that are set up by the Advertising Standards Authority. Our own research has found that those existing voluntary codes relating to food and beverage, and specifically food and beverage ads targeting children, are full of loopholes. They're non-binding. There's really no incentive for advertisers or companies to adhere to them. But we know there's a really strong lobby in the food and beverage industry that will try and confuse the evidence and really push for this self-regulatory stance. We do need to stay strong and put our kids' health before financial interests.
And you say in your article for Newsroom that the advertising codes by the Advertising Standards Authority are virtually useless. Why is that?
Through Healthy Auckland Together and other groups, we have followed some of the complaints processes that have been put through to the ASA about ads that really clearly breach the code. What happens in those cases is that it's referred back to the ASA to review, which they do in their own time. It can take a while. At which point they decide there's been a breach, which often they don't. They then just ask the company to take it down, and there's no penalty of any kind. Often this takes so long that there's been a really lengthy exposure in the meantime, and the ad has served its purpose, and there's really no repercussions.
And are there any ways that communities and parents can support and advocate for the removal of junk food advertising in their local areas?
Yeah, there's really clear evidence that it's time to restrict this in a mandatory regulatory way. And we're suggesting that people get in touch with their local council representatives and candidates running in this next round of elections to see where they stand on these issues and really ask that they commit to changing this. It's something that's achievable, it's going to have tangible health impact, and it's really the way forward.
That's all we've got time for today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I mean, just to reiterate that we all want kids to be happy and healthy. And that means not being bombarded by manipulative marketing messages all day, including on their way to and from school, enticing them to have unhealthy food and drinks. Let's encourage our council representatives to do the right thing and make this policy change.
And that was Senior Research Fellow at the University of Auckland School of Population Health and spokesperson for Health Coalition Aotearoa, Dr. Kelly Garton, speaking to us about how junk food ads around public transport spaces should be scrapped and how sheltering children from early exposure to unhealthy food and beverages should be an initiative for Aotearoa to consider.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.